You know, what's incredible is the way Hollywood depicts robots, too. From the day the Earth stood still, we had...
I love that, that movie.
Wasn't that one? It was a great robot. There was another one. I can't remember the name of the movie, but the robot was called Johnny Five. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. What was the name? I can't remember that that movie either. But
Someone will send it to us. We'll have it in seconds. Over my fast blast.
But you know what fascinated me about the day the Earth stood still? That the robot is a messiah. It resurrects the alien from death.
Yes, you're right. You're
it's
absolutely right.
It's indestructible. It threatens the judgment day, and it's all forgiving.
Do you remember its name?
Oh,
trivia
no.
question. Trivia question. I'll give you your own radio show if you guess the name of this robot.
I know exactly how it looks like. I show that movie always to my students, but I can't remember the name of the robot.
Wasn't it Gort?
Gort, you're right. You're good. Or did someone tell you that right?
Nobody told me that.
You are good.
But I'm still waiting to get someone to send me the name of the Johnny Five. Short Circuit, that's the name of it.
Short Circuit, that's correct.
Yep. Now that was a great robot.
Now, that was a great robot, but let me give you two other examples which make a case in my about my research, and that is R2-D2 and 3CPO. What I find so fascinating about the pair of them, that 3CPO is the humanoid robot, right? It can talk, it looks like a human, and all that stuff. And everyone is much more in love with R2-D2, even though R2-D2 doesn't talk. Why is that? Because R2-D2 has emotions. And we can empathize with it, and therefore we think we understand it. And therefore it's much more darling, it's much more dear to us than 3CPO. You know, that says something about us, too.
Well, you know, that's true, because when R2-D2 got dumped into the heap, and, you know, and he lost part of his body...
Oh, my God!
I mean, it was sad, yet if it happened to... poor old R2-CP3O, we would have figured, he's only a machine.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's only
right.
a machine. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that is kind of, again, this is not so much the robots that intrigue me, but how we react to them. Because that's really fascinating. Why is R2 so much more intriguing? It's the same thing with Commander Data. I mean, when Data kind of, you know, processes all this kind of wonderful information, who cares? Data becomes really precious to us in the moment where it tries to seek out meaning and tries to be like us and all those
mm-hmm.
things. You know, it's a very, very emotionality Commander Data displays when he complains about having no emotions. That intrigues us.
And I thought, though, that CP3O was a better robot. I thought it was smarter.
Yeah, technically it definitely was the much better robot, but that is not what we care about as humans. We care about can we identify with it. And we can identify much more with a being with emotions, even though it cannot talk, then we can identify with something that can speak, but isn't emotional as we are.
While we're talking about robotic movies, did you see Steven Spielberg's A1, artificial
AI.
Intelligence, AI? Yeah.
AI, yes, of course I saw it. Actually, Cynthia consulted with Steven Spielberg on that one, Cynthia Brazil, who built Kismet. She was very much involved with it. I was kind of intrigued by the beginning and very, very disappointed by the end.
The end was kind of sad to me, wasn't it?
No, it was utterly stupid. I mean, what a stupid robot who stares for 20,000 years or 20 million years or many ever years that was to this stupid statue. And you know what really annoyed me about that movie? That was that the robot started to love its mom as soon as she spoke the magic formula. You know, that's crap. I mean, if we really build emotional machines, they will develop love and hate and antipathy and liking for other people. It will come naturally to them. It will not be able to. I mean, at this moment where the mom spoke the magical word and the robot fell in love with her, that was the moment where I stopped caring for the robot.
And
because
by the way,
I thought, you know, that's so programmed in. Who cares?
I called C-3PO, CP-3O. I hope he's not too upset.
Remember, he doesn't have emotions. R2, on the other hand, would be really upset.
Would a robot correct you if you were wrong? Hey, that's not my name.
It depends on if it's afraid to hurt your feelings or not.
Well, you know, this is something else. You know, you've got a great laugh, and I'm wondering if a robot would have a sense of humor. Is that possible?
Well, if it is as smart as us, it would have to have a sense of humor. I mean, you know, this is kind of very intriguing. If you look at small children, you know, the sense of humor really develops in the same way they develop intelligence. The smarter they become, the more self-aware they become, the more humor they develop. And so I think if we really interact with a robot, it would develop humor too.